Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're talking about the Billy Meier case. Thought I would start out this evening for talking a little bit about some of the spiritual teachings. We all have this area in our middle brain called the superior colliculus. And in the superior colliculus is a little spark of energy, so to speak, sometimes called a fragment of creation. It's also known as your human spirit. It is very interesting that Semyase told Billy that everyone has a spirit that does not die and does not sleep, that records all of our thoughts. It will tell us if our thinking is right or wrong if we've learned to pay attention to it. So that human spirit, it is your spiritual consciousness. It never dies. It's invulnerable. It can't be harmed. You can't have a sick human spirit. You can't have an insane human spirit. It has a controlling factor that's called the Gemut. The Meier material says the Gemut controls the thoughts and the feelings of the spiritual consciousness. We also have a controlling factor in what's called our material consciousness. Our material consciousness consists of our conscious mind, our unconscious mind, our subconscious mind, our personality. The material consciousness kind of corresponds to you in your current lifetime. What happens when the spirit form enters the body of the child, it enters the body of the child 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. And the spirit form goes into the superior colliculus in the midbrain. It sends out this lattice structure of energy all throughout the body of the child. The heart starts to beat. And life begins in the womb at the 21st day. And that's when your most recent material life started. And then as you grow up, in your subconscious, you have the experiences of your previous lives. You'll be kind of impulsed by those. And also, the universe stores all information in these things called the Speicher Box in the German, or the archives, the universal storage banks, which contain all the information from your previous life. Now, as you grow up, you will get impulses that come from your human spirit. You'll get impulses from the storage banks, impulses from your previous life's memory. And this kind of gives you guidance as you grow back up and you live your next material lifetime. Now, each time that you spend time in the material, you have the opportunity to evolve a little bit more, to evolve your thinking, to increase your understanding. When you die, the spirit form leaves the body along with your consciousness, and it goes into the spirit realm. Your consciousness goes into this area called the overall consciousness block, which processes those experiences you had in the prior lifetime, and it forms them into what you might call essences, like hope and wisdom and love and discernment and judgment. And those kinds of things are eventually then stored in your human spirit. It strengthens your human spirit, and your human spirit becomes a little more knowing, a little more understanding. And then your spirit form will be pulled back into the body of a child again in 21 days, and the cycle begins again. So you'll spend a certain amount of time in the physical and a certain amount of time in the spiritual realm. Now, for example, if everything was working normally on planet Earth, if your lifetime was 100 years, you would spend about 150 years in the spiritual realm. And all that time would be spent processing your previous life experiences and having those essences stored in the spirit form to strengthen your spirit form and to make your spirit form wiser. What's happening on the Earth now, because of overpopulation, spirit forms get yanked out of spiritual realm a little too soon. They haven't had the chance to process everything. Two problems that's causing on the Earth right now is difficulty in becoming male. When the spirit form reincarnates into the physical, it'll be more difficult for the male child to form the personality and to be really male. The other thing that happens is an increase in the dependence on the parents. So our imbalance in the physical world and the overpopulation has caused and also an imbalance in the spirit realm. So what the universal consciousness does, what the universe does, is always tries to balance things. And for example, there's always the importance of balancing the negative and the positive. And the negative and positive, there are two powers which belong together, and they always work together, and they never allow themselves to be separated because one is dependent on the other. And that's why we're taught in the Might of Thoughts to always try to maintain the neutral, positive point of view, because that's the balanced point of view. In Contact 251, it actually talks about this, but in a different way. It says, therefore, there is no such thing that man is born evil in the sense that he or she is totally evil from birth and onwards, as some people enjoy claiming, those who wish only to see evil and total negativity. Man, of course, provided with both the negative and the positive from the very beginning of his existence, but not to the point where he is only negative or only positive. Ultimately, an equilibrium is established that truly provides man with the capability and the stability of conquering all the challenges, all the external influences. Both negative and positive factors, when combined with and applied properly, they result in a grand total which turns the human life into an extremely hard living entity. What that means is, when you have the negative and the positive, and you can keep them in balance, you'll be a born fighter, and you'll be extremely hardy, a very strong living entity. That's what the negative does. So the negative is important. You need the negative in your life. In Contact 238, it talks about the negative and the positive again. The path of evolution is very long and burdensome, and it is marked by many kinds of external influences. In particular, the influences of the same kind of forms of life exert powers over a single form of life, which this form of life is only able to control through living through greater spaces of time. So we live a longer time, and we learn, and we get understanding and recognition. That's the point of life. That's the reason we're in life. That's the point of all these material lives, is because each time we live a material life, we get a little more understanding, a little more recognition. Evolution continues. And this is true for the highest forms of life as well as the lower forms of life, because the Meyer material says all life reincarnates. So the reincarnation pattern, the creational natural law of reincarnation, applies to your cat, your dog, your horse, trees, birds, plants, humanity. And the planet that you die on is the planet that you reincarnate on, according to the Meyer material. And the purpose of these reincarnations is to grow in wisdom. There are seven evolutionary steps that the human race goes through. The first stage is rational life. The first stage is primitive life. The second stage is rational life. Here on the Earth, we're in a stage of rational life. There is a strong religious influence. There's a lot of things we don't understand. Part of humanity is moving into the third stage, which is intelligent life. And intelligent life, we have the beginning of space travel, the beginning of genetic engineering. Eventually, we move in the stage four where we really learn space travel. We learn to travel from star to star with almost no time passing. We learn very intense genetic engineering. And it says in one of Colonel Wendell Stevens' books, and it's a quote from the contact reports in a sense, that Semyonov's ship has a biological intelligence that's sentient. The Plarion created a sentient intelligence in her ship. Her ship is essentially a living being with metallic hull. Semyonov has telepathic contact with the intelligence in that ship. And the Plarion are also able to create artificial life, these kind of biological androids, these automatons, which do work on their ships. And we're eventually going to get to that stage. That's the fourth stage. The fifth stage is called the King of Wisdom, the Ishwish. And what happens there is there's these incredible abilities associated to the material consciousness, like telepathy, telekinesis, levitation. We have the physical consciousness, the material consciousness, and the spiritual consciousness. The gemut in the spiritual consciousness, that is the factor that controls the thoughts and the feelings. The spiritual consciousness can use what's called the Schwinging wave, the electromagnetic wave, that can sometimes have incredible power associated with them, and it will send those waves over to the psyche, which is the material consciousness. Now, these extraterrestrials at this level of evolution have learned to do and utilize this swinging wave, and it has tremendous abilities. Now, some of the quote-unquote gods of the past on the Earth were just extraterrestrial humans that had these incredible powers, which we'll all get there eventually. That's the fifth stage. That's also what comes then is called the Age of Recognitions, where you have the ability to see your past lives, to understand them clearly, and you people will become what's called the Ishwish, the King of Wisdom. And eventually they move to stage six, which is a half physical, half spiritual stage. You lose the need for a physical body at the sixth stage of evolution. It's sometimes called the High Council. And eventually spirit forms will move into a purely spiritual state, which is the seventh stage of evolution. And in that spiritual state, in that first stage, it's called Arahat Atharasata. And Edward Albert Meyer, his spirit form, which the extraterrestrials like to refer to as Nokodamian, because that's one of the earlier incarnations of that spirit, has been all through these levels and all back down. His spirit form is said to be 9,600,000,000 years old. So that's why the extraterrestrials have contact with him, because he's on a particular mission that he's been on for the past 13,000 years. That mission is to bring the spiritual teaching to the people of the earth again, in the hopes that we won't destroy the earth and destroy ourselves, which has happened on this world before. There are two other planets in the solar system which no longer have life, which have been destroyed. One was called Melona. The people that live there diverted an ocean into a volcano, which caused a tremendous explosion, which destroyed their world. Mars also was destroyed by natural sources, something called the Destroyer Comet, which ripped them out of their proper orbit. And one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight was Mars, some interesting information about Mars. Mars used to have tremendous amounts of water, tremendous rivers, bigger than any of the rivers on Earth. And it talks about rivers that had 1,000-fold more water than is in the largest rivers on Earth. Amazing. This is a Contact Report 210 where Billy and Pata were discussing this. But these, a lot of these rivers now are filled in by dust and volcanic ash. I think a lot of the water on Mars has seeped into the center of the planet. Some of it is on the poles. But on Mars now we have these violently raging sandstorms, which Pata explained covered the entire planet. And it's no wonder that these enormous rivers of water and their canals are partially covered with sand and dust and volcanic ash. So what's going to happen in the future regarding Mars? Contact Report 251 talks about Mars in the future. And there will be people living on Mars in the future. There will be 13 colonies on Mars. And for some reason, there will be warfare, I'm assuming, between Earth and Mars. These are prophecies that are talked about in Contact Report 251. Now, some of the prophecies in Contact Report 251 are no longer valid because things have changed. There are some things that have changed. One thing that has changed is the Destroyer comet has been moved out of its old orbit. And that voided some of the prophecies. I don't know if it voided this prophecy or not. I would assume it wouldn't, but who knows? In any case, Mars will be destroyed in the future by this incredible warfare. I guess once we get it to the point, I guess we're terraforming it. I'm just assuming at some point in the future we terraform Mars, we get everything going again back on the planet, and then we destroy things. Unfortunately, this seems to be the case. We do this before. Mars used to have people living on it, technically advanced humans from the Sirius system. The genetically manipulated people lived there and these creator overlords. These people they bore it, barbaric traits, which was tended toward degeneration and cruelty. And these people, they fled from the Sirius system, found a way into our soul system, and they created a myriad of structures on Mars. At one time, there were cities, pyramids, stations. These people led a good life on Mars until the planet became uninhabitable because of this Destroyer comet. Now, these structures later were destroyed by another group from the Sirius system. Long story, not a good story. This Destroyer comet, by the way, was a large comet almost as big as the Earth. Actually, excuse me, it was 1.7 times the size of the Earth. It was actually bigger than the Earth, and it penetrated into the Martian orbit and caused all kinds of trouble. Anyway, that was a quick overview of some of the stuff that has happened on Mars, some of the stuff that could happen on Mars, and I think Eve has put some interesting stuff in our chat room about Contact Report 251, which is incredibly long. It's one of the largest contact reports in all the Meyer information. I briefly talked about Melona. It was once a home for over 400 million human beings that were the descendants of these genetically manipulated people. That's another story we just touched on that I don't think we're going to get into. Melona was destroyed, unfortunately. The Chinese and Japanese races, where did they come from? Well, according to Myra information, the two yellow races lived in their native land on the other side of the Milky Way, on the other side of the central sun of our galaxy, in a system called Nizan on a planet called Kudra. And they were discovered by a group from the Lyrian system some 6 million years ago. And the people from Lyra brought the Chinese and the Japanese people back to a planet called Lazan, which is a planet in the Lyrian system. This planet Kudrow was discovered by an expedition fleet from Lazan, where it left the Lyra system. This was 16 million years ago. So in case you ever wonder, our galaxy is populated and has been populated by human people, most of which these people descend from the people from Lyra Vega, but there are millions of civilizations in our galaxy, the Meyer material says. I believe something like 7 million. Anyway, these Japanese people and Chinese people, the Kenton and the Nipa races, as we call them, Japanese and Chinese, were brought back to Lazan, and they settled on various planets. It's a long story that we need to go back over. We haven't talked about in a while. But these eventually these people came to the Earth where they settled. So we have a very, very mixed story of how the Earth got populated and how all of this works. I'm going to be doing some shows about Atlantis and Lemuria, try to go into more detail and try to learn a little bit more if you've ever listened to this show. We talk about that a lot. There have been civilizations on the Earth. There was a civilization 150,000 years ago, another one 130,000 years ago. And we go into this in great detail. One of the other things that I've talked about, you know, we were talking about the Lyrians and how they went through our galaxy and they populated many planets. They took over many planets. Now, one of the interesting things about Lyra Vega is that there are these binary stars in Lyra Vega. And binary stars rotate around a common center of gravity, and often there'll be these tremendous gravitational forces. Now, there's something called the Beta Lyra variables, which are very close binary stars. There's something going on in Lyra Vega, which is very, very unique. And binary stars typically rotate around a common center. It's called the barycenter, and it's the center of mass. We actually have a binary star, our sun does. The solar system is a binary star system. And our sun has a twin that the Meyer material calls the dark star. It's about 10 times smaller than our sun. It has its own planets rotating around it. The radius of the dark star to the solar system is, the distance is about a light year. So these two stars sort of rotate around a common center. I don't think our astronomers know about this yet. So, but this is one of the interesting facts that has been brought out by the Meyer material. And we have gone over a lot of this in the recent past about the history of the Lyrians, at least what we know about the history of the Lyrians, as well as the Pleiaren people. I think I will regress a little bit in case there are a few new listeners which listen to this and haven't heard this before. They may not know who Billy Meyer is, Edward Albert Meyer. He is a one-armed farmer from Switzerland. He lives in this beautiful green area, this forested area that's called Hinterschmidruti. It's a tiny mountain village. He has written 40 books. A couple of the books that I've been reading tonight, one's called The Might of Thoughts, the other is called The Psyche. And his extraterrestrial contacts began when he was living in northern Switzerland in an area called Bulac. Bulac is a municipality in Switzerland called in the Canton of Zurich in the Glatt Valley. And Billy started getting telepathic messages when he was about 5 years old from this extraterrestrial man named Svoth. Svoth was a Pleiaren man. The Pleiaron people have been unfortunately called the Pleiadians incorrectly. In 1995, when they left the Earth, they revealed to us that they are not from our Pleiades, but they're from a star system some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades that's in a different space-time and configuration than ours. You could call it a different dimension. Before the Pleiaron left the Earth, there was something like 2,800 extraterrestrials on the Earth. They had bases in United States, bases, or I should say in the Americas, bases in Switzerland, and also bases in Asia. The bases they had in Switzerland had been here for several centuries. These peoples were from the Pleiaron star system, from Lyra Vega, and from systems close by. They left in 1995. They didn't tell us why. Very interesting, though. Anyway, Billy's first teacher was an extraterrestrial man named Sfoth, and his first contact with Sfoth occurred in 1945 on February 3rd at 12:10 p.m. when Billy got a telepathic message to go out in the forest near his home in Bulac, Switzerland. And out of the sky came this very strange-looking silvery pear-shaped craft, which landed in a field nearby. Sfoth came out. He was an extraterrestrial man of about 1,000 years old. He came over to Billy, led Billy into the ship, and took Billy up to a very high orbit and started to tell Billy about his previous lives and told Billy that he was not to go into the public too much, that he should remain in the background performing his mission in written form. And eventually, all of these Maya writings are intended to wake the human race up out of their sleep. Billy was told that he would have a difficult life, that there would be attempts on his life, that he would lose his left arm, that people very close to him would turn against him. He was also taught by Sfoth an ability called spiritual telepathy, which allowed Billy to pull information down from a spiritual plane called Arahadath Rasada. And I had talked about that briefly as the seventh level that spirit forms, human spirit forms, eventually evolve up to. Now, Billy was told that there would be a great war. Well, he knew about the war from his own family, because Billy would often watch the American bombers being shot down by the Swiss Air Force. So Billy was aware of the war, but Sfoth told him that in 1945 that the atomic bombs would drop on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And this would start the age of the third millennium, which is the time that we're in now. Sfoth also taught Billy about the seven incarnations of his spirit form, that he had been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad, and that this last seventh incarnation would be his current lifetime, and that he would once again be a teacher. Now, as I said earlier, these Pleiaron extraterrestrials and the other extraterrestrials on the Earth, there were about 2,862 of them from 12 different races, left the Earth in 1995. There were also a group of extraterrestrial humans that lived in a base within Mount Shasta called the Hyperboreans. The Hyperboreans, I believe, also left as well. And there were another group of extraterrestrial humans called the Hasters, who had a base in the North Atlantic, and they left as well. Don't know why all these groups left. Still don't know. It's a very interesting story. The Meyer material says there are 7.5 million human civilizations. That's my understanding, the Milky Way galaxy. that humans can have very differing lifespans. Some humans can live thousands of years for various different reasons. There can be people 16 inches tall or 40 feet tall, all different kinds of humans. Originally, there were 79 human races created in our universe. Now, the Maya material does not use the word God. It uses the word universal consciousness because, according to the Maya teachings, there isn't a God as the religions teach. In other words, there's no Heavenly Father, meaning that the spirit form that created our universe, that maintains our universe, that is evolving. It is, and first of all, has no gender. It's not a father. It also is a neutral, positive entity. And what that means is it doesn't have a personality like a human being that can switch back to negative and positive and negative and positive. It always is a neutral being. And that's the whole nature of the universe. And that's one of the most important spiritual teachings of the Maya material, is to learn to be neutral, a neutral positive in your thinking. And this universal consciousness radiates love. But it doesn't do it in a personal way. It does it in the sense that, for example, our star radiates light and heat. But our star, our sun, doesn't really have a personal relationship with us. And it's kind of that way. According to the Maya information, little fragments of this universal consciousness all reside in all of us. And we're kind of these entities which function mostly on self-responsibility. And we have to evolve through millions and millions of lifetimes in order to gain knowledge and bring experience, all of our experiences, back to the universal consciousness. And the Maya material often calls the universal consciousness as creation. And it is the universal self-awareness. And there are more than one universe. We have a universe. It's called the DERN universe. There is also a sister universe to ours, according to Maya information, called the Tao universe, that was created 46 trillion years ago, along with our universe. Now, both universes, the Tao universe and the DERN universe, are in their expansion phase. The expansion phase for a universe lasts 155 trillion years, and then it will start its contraction phase. Our universe is said to be in the first stage of its evolution because we're a material universe. And I know this gets very bizarre, but the Maya information says that the second, later, third, the fourth, the fifth, there are thousands of stages of evolutions of the universe, are not material. Now, I can't wrap my mind around that, but maybe in later years we'll be able to understand that a little bit clearer. Let me read something that comes from Love Teaching Letter Number 27, and it's on page 296. It says, "The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. The individual should therefore be aware that he exists only through the love of creation, and that he carries this love within himself." And I love this particular verse. It says, "All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly." Nature has repeating patterns. We have the spiraling arm of the galaxy, the spiraling arms of our DNA, the spiraling arm of the seashell, the spirals that form in the whirlpools in naturally flowing rivers. These are the repeating patterns. If you see and look at a branching structure in a tree, we have a branching structure in our own circulatory system. If you look at the Earth from space, you can see the branching structure formed by rivers. You see, the universal intelligence works in repeating patterns. And it, the incredible splendor of nature, the beauty of nature, is the indescribable splendor. And this is the way creation expresses its love visibly. You see, creation is a different kind of entity than human beings. It is called a Wesenheiten in the German. And a Wesenheiten doesn't really have a personality like a human being does. The Wesenheiten, it evolves according to a kind of predetermined set of steps where we as human beings, through our own quirks and our own personality, can determine how long it takes us to evolve, you know, whether we want to evolve this lifetime or not, is really kind of up to us. But the creation is much more automatic in the way it works. Now, it's an incredible intelligence. It's a super intelligence, but it's not like a heavenly father that's talked about by our religions that is immutable, never changes. The idea is that God never changes. The Meyer material teaches that this universal intelligence is evolving. It's learning. It's changing. The idea of the Meyer material says that creation, the universe we live in, is not perfect. And one of the imperfections of creation, I say, is the fact that animals have to prey on each other to live. They kill each other in order to survive. Well, this is because we live partially, I think, in an imperfect universe. And the Meyer material explains that we do live in a universe that is evolving, that's perfecting itself. But there are certain laws that exist in this universe. One of is love. And the law of love says that each tiny plant, each tiny animal was created in love by creation, and it fulfills its purpose in creation. Only humans can turn away from love. Outside of animals functioning in their natural instinct, which involves them sometimes killing other animals to live. But other than that, all of nature is programmed in love. You know, except for the human. The human doesn't really understand love anymore. Now, Billy says that reverence is the fundamental element of all existence. Respect. Reverence means a little more than respect even. And he says that reverence is the fundamental element of love. And it's this all-embracing reverence that we need to learn. Because we here on the earth have an emotion-based false form of love that has enormous fluctuations in intensity, and it can even transform into rage and hatred. Now, what we're striving for is what's called a wisdom-conditioned love, which is a harmonious state of absolute connectedness with all things. Wisdom-conditioned love is based, my understanding is, on observation. Not belief. We need to learn to be neutral and have observation. Billy explains that in contrast to false love, wisdom-conditioned love is constant. It's absolutely independent of your age, your personality. But he says with a false form of love, factors like age and appearance play an important role. Also, your material wealth, your societal position, your profession. But there is a kind of love that's not emotion-based. This emotion-based love is subject to enormous fluctuations in intensity. And like I said, it can be transformed into rage and hatred. But Billy has deeper explanations. He calls the genuine effective love is a wisdom conditioned love. And there's this false form of love, which is based more on emotion. So one of Billy's contacts, his third contact, was a woman named Semyase, and she introduced what was called the spiritual teachings again during our age on the earth. And she would land her ship in the area of Hinterschmidruti in the early 1970s, and she would step out of her ship and she'd walk over to Billy, who had by then driven up on his moped, and they would sit outside on a warm summer day and have these very profound discussions. And she would talk about the spiritual teachings. She would say very poetic things like, wisdom and love go together in the creation, and its laws are wisdom and love at the same time. She would talk about the human spirit, and she would tell Billy that if you've learned to pay attention to it, the human spirit will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong. She says that those people can become an instrument of the spirit, and that will help open up the spirit realm for other people. So love is not situated in our heart. And Billy has a book. It's called The Way to Live, also called The Art zu Lieben. And on page 34, Billy explains that true love is something called a fine spiritual perception. And it's not built on emotion. And this true love is a form of reality. And it's very consistent. It's called effective love. And it's based on wisdom. It's based on observation. And it's based on this respect and veneration. So one of the things that we here on the earth have to learn and start to understand again is what is true love and what is false love. Because we're in this process in the third millennium of destroying ourselves. Because we're violating certain creational natural laws, one of which is love. And we have something called the Dark Order, which is being formed right now. It's called the New World Order at times. And there are a group of leaders on the earth which are very megalomaniacal. And they are trying to take control of the power, trying to take control of all of the money. And they're leading the people of the earth into a very dark time called the third millennium. And that's what we're dealing with right now, is we're being dumbed down. The people of the earth, unfortunately, are very indolent and obtuse right now. They are being molded by the media, by television, by cell phones, and they're being incredibly distracted. And unfortunately, we're being manipulated. And this is a big problem on the earth right now. So the people of the earth, they need to wake up. Because we're in a very, very difficult time. And one of the earlier incarnations of Edward Albert Meyer's spirit form was a prophet that we today call Jeremiah. And according to Meyer material, this is one of the seven incarnations of Nokedamion. Nokedamion is the first spirit form that incarnated as a teacher like this. And that's one of the way the extraterrestrials refer to the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer. Anyway, according to the Meyer material, the Bible contains a lot of inaccurate information, but some accurate. they say that Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet, and he's credited with authoring the book of Jeremiah, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and the book of Lamentation. Jeremiah's information are predictions, meaning they will take place definitely. So that's one thing about the Meyer material. It has prophecies and predictions. Now, if you want to go to the absolutely for sure things, they are in Contact Report 229, which is the predictions of the prophet Jeremiah. The Meyer material says this is one of the incarnations of Edward Albert Meyer. And it talks about things that will definitely take place in the third millennium, in our time. The people of the earth are said that they will be blinded by the pursuit of materialism. Materialism is the philosophy which says our reality consists entirely of physical matter. And this is the sole cause of every possible occurrence. What does it say? Let me read a little bit from what Jeremiah says. In this Contact Report 229, Jeremiah says, "And when the second millennium ends and the third has begun, human beings will be blinded by gold and material values to such an extent that they will be counting silver coins in all the countries everywhere." Contact 31 talks about materialism. It says in Report 231, "As since many millennia on many worlds and universe, the earth human stands in the entire universe as a purely materialistically developed life form, which solely represents a life form so deeply decayed to materialism that every consciousness-related evolution in this ground over the millennia was harmful." Semyasi said in Contact Report 11 that we are materialistic intellectual thinkers on the earth, and that we ignore the deepest subjective intuitions of the human spirit. And there is a article on the Future Mankind site that warns of materialism. It's called Peace and Harmony. And it says earth humans must learn not to solely pursue materialism and money from birth into death. Unfortunately, we kind of do, and we kind of have to, almost to survive. What else does Jeremiah say? They will build cult places for cults to worship, and they will pay homage to a non-existent God as well as saints who are human beings canonized by human beings. Now, the Meyer material again says there is a universal consciousness, but they say that it's not a heavenly father. Let me continue with some things said in Contact Report 215. And this is Billy. Billy says, "And the same will most likely be the case in the future when I receive permission from you in the coming time to spread the prophecies of Henoch." Well, we've talked about the prophecies of Henoch. It talks about two civil wars in the United States. It also talks about these incredible forest fires that we've been having. I've done many shows on this. Quetzal also talks about this. He said these will start to be fulfilled when there's not a pope in Rome. So sometime in the relatively near future, there will be no pope. It also says all of Europe will fall victim to terrible punishment by evil powers. I think part of that punishment is Islam. Contact 251 talks about the potential for World War III, and if we don't become reasonable, we will have nuclear, chemical, and biological warfare. And it talks about this world war beginning in November of a specific year, and then after 5 years of intensive effort to reach the goal, there will be 4 years of unspecified preparations, and the war will break out and last for 3 years and 11 months. That's in Contact Report 251. In Contact Report 215, it says monstrous forces will be created by science and will be released by military forces, as well as Terrorists will cause great destruction. Millions and even billions of people will be killed by acts of terrorism, by wars and civil wars. And the Meyer material in Contact Report 215 says that every third human being will be killed on the earth. The nations of the East will rise up against the West. There will be all kinds of death from aircraft. And larger and smaller cities will be annihilated. And there's supposed to be this time of 888 days of hell on earth. People will be suffering hunger and plagues. However, Europe will also be affected. This great horror expands over the entire world. And there will be nuclear and biological chemical weapons that will be released. This is one of the most horrific times. It says that the North American continent will be stricken by the most terrible catastrophe that has ever been recorded. It says evil military powers will wreak havoc with computerized and nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons, where it will happen that these computerized weapons, they will become independent, and they cannot be controlled any longer by human beings. So these are some of the horrific prophecies and predictions that occur. There are also prophets by predictions by the prophet Elijah. This is one of the other personalities of Edward Albert Meyer in his previous life. And Contact Report 136 also talks. These are some examples of things that Billy has predicted correctly. The assassination of John Lennon, the engagement of Prince Charles and Princess Diana, the start of the trend of extreme cold weather. And we could do a whole show on how the forests moderate our weather, and we're destroying our forests by our growing population. Even the droughts are caused by destroyed forests, because the forests create kind of a turbulence in the air above them, which causes rain. And these rains, then, when you wipe the forest out, the rains go right past what was the forested area, and then they'll dump gigantic floods hundreds of miles away, while the area that used to get rain goes into a drought. These forests are very important. We'll also see earthquakes and floods in various parts of the world, the rise of Zionism. The Meyer material said that Reagan was setting the stage for World War III. The Meyer material predicted the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan. It predicted the destruction of an atomic power plant by the Israeli Air Force. It also says in the future that there will be a tremendous corruption in the Vatican and the Holy See. It also predicted several other things like Ayatollah Khomeini's death, illness, the assassination attempt of Pope John Paul II, Ronald Reagan struck by Alzheimer's disease, the assassination of the President Anwar Sadat. These are all correct predictions by Billy. I'm not so much into the predictions as many other people are. Oh, it looks like I have a caller. 516, I will bring you on the air. Is that 516?
Yes. Hi, Mark. It's Hugh. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Terrific. I would like to speak with you off air after the show about what you're talking about. And also, what are we here for? Are we here to enjoy all the horrors that are prophesized, or can we really, with our creativity and power and consciousness, nothing is set in stone, can't we start reversing it?
I hope so. The reason we're here, folks, and I'll put you back on mute there, Hugh. The reason we're here is to evolve our consciousness, to grow in wisdom and knowledge. And the evolution of our consciousness is brought about by a creational natural law called striving. And we have to continue to work. We have to continue to strive. This is one of the creational natural laws. In fact, how effectively you strive will also control how happy of a person you are. I think we've gone too far on this planet. I think there are going to be some of these horrific prophecies. I personally don't like to talk about them, particularly the fires. I've done a lot of shows on the fires. And let me catch some people back up. Maybe I can talk a little bit about the dangers of the third millennium. The rulers on the earth right now are working to remove our self-determination, the Meyer material explains. And our self-determination refers to the loss of our freedoms, the freedom of gun control, the loss of freedom of speech, mandatory vaccinations. They're also using something called mind control. And the mind control comes through the television, it comes through the cell phones, it comes through the games, it comes through the movies. People cannot think outside the programming of television. One of the things they're working on right now is destroying the right to bear arms. How are they doing that? By these stage shootings like Sandy Hook. The good news is no one was actually killed at Sandy Hook. This was a hoax designed to attack the right to bear arms. This other Orlando shooting, same kind of thing. These people that are supposedly lost these children, they are paid actors. And I'm going to have a guy on the 31st of August called Gary King, who's an expert in this area. And he'll spend a lot of time. You know, the Boston bombing, one of the craziest things was the guy supposedly in the wheelchair that just had his leg blown off. Well, if you just had your leg blown off, I mean, this guy's sitting there with a, you know, almost practically a smile on his face. Well, you would be screaming in agony if you just had your leg blown off. There would be blood spraying everywhere. I mean, to lose a limb like that is a horrific, horrific thing, and it takes months and months of operations. And this guy, 2 weeks later, is supposed to be at some kind of baseball game or something. Anyway, these hoaxes are so unreal and ridiculous. But I started out talking about these incredible fires. These are not hoaxes. The fires are very real. One of the biggest fires is the Rim Fire, which occurred on August 17th of 2013. And it ranks as the third largest fire in California history. It burned 402 square miles. It almost destroyed the Yosemite National Park's sequoia trees. 257,000 acres of forest were destroyed. August 8th, 2013, the Pony Complex fire destroyed 149,000 acres in Idaho. The biggest fire, I'll jump forward to the biggest fire, and I'll skip a whole bunch of them, was the Fort McMurray fire in Alberta. 1.5 million square acres destroyed. Anyway, folks, I want to thank all of you for coming. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. This is Mark Snyder. We'll be back on Wednesday with Gary King. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.